Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James from DontPerish.com, John 4:24 Radio. It's been a few days since I made an audio. I want to get back at it. Today I got something really important. I want to talk about dropping your nets and having no idols. Drop your nets and have no idols. If you're listening to this audio, you probably watched the video I made, where I was standing on one of our guest cabin porches and I proclaimed a big decision we made in our lives and our ministries. We have decided to sell our peaceful, beautiful homestead here in central Missouri so we can go and stay out on the gospel road full time, van dwell as we were doing before, to preach Christ crucified all over America, and then who knows, maybe to other parts of the world as well. We'll see what God has planned. We were on the gospel road. We came back to work on this. I think that was the Lord's plan all along, to work on it, get it done this winter. And then it was put on my heart. It had to go. It was a hard decision, very hard decision in my flesh. But in the spirit, I have to rejoice and know that it is a wise and right choice to make. We're going to talk about this. For this teaching, I want to focus on dropping nets and having no idols, as the title says. Do you remember this account in Scripture? Mark 1, 15 through 20. And saying this, the time was fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and his brothers casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when they had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. I really love this part of Scripture. It's really rich. It's got a lot of nuggets for us. Let's look at this. So Jesus shows us the call to repentance, going out to the lost. Very, very important. That's a big part of preaching the gospel. Repentance, changing of your mind, changing your ways. Jesus gives us that example. Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God. He's not preaching, hey, believe in me and just get to go to heaven. No, he's preaching about the kingdom of God has come. It's come in him. The kingdom of God is now inside God's people. One day it'll be a literal kingdom here with a new heaven and a new earth. So he's calling them to the kingdom of God. I like to preach the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He offers men to come and become fishers of men. I really appreciate this. I spent a ton of my youth and much of my adult life being a fisherman, a passion, idle hobby. Yeah. And now I get to be a fisher of men. That's pretty exciting to me. So I like that area of Scripture very much. And next we see, they dropped their nets and followed him ASAP. I say ASAP. I love that word. It says straightway twice. I love that word. I want to try to use that word more in my English speak today. Straightway. In Greek, it's ethos. And it means directly, at once, soon, immediately, shortly. Straightway. Those men saw Jesus, followed him. They left their work, they left their parents, they left their tools behind ASAP, straightway. That was the call that they answered. Pretty interesting if you think about it. Today, sadly, most people reject the call completely. And the ones that do say, yeah, I'll come follow you, Lord, they will hesitate, make excuses. They drag all their worldly sin with them. They drag their carnal life with them. They bring their desires and worldly hobbies versus what? Coming and following Jesus straightway. Very, very important. So let us remember that. Straightway is the way to follow the Lord. Urgently and ASAP. Don't delay. So these saints dropped their nets, and for his glory, they followed after him. Now I can appreciate that. Sister Debbie and I have had to drop our nets, a lot of nets, to follow Christ. We lost careers, family, a lot of flesh, reputation, other lands and houses, people we knew, and this last land that we own, our homestead, that I really enjoy. It's the last fleshly net, I think, that needs to fall. It has to be dropped, and the reason it has to be dropped, as I explained in the video, is I need to completely and truly meet my calling in Christ with nothing in its way. It's really too easy when you have something that is comfortable, joyful, and really peaceful to sit and enjoy it. But if it takes you off of your calling to preach the gospel, live the gospel, put nothing before God, it becomes sinful. We'll talk about what it becomes a little bit more. So we have to surrender this so we don't worry about it anymore, so we can go into the world, live in Vandwell, and preach Christ crucified and go and seek the lost. Can't serve two masters, can't have all these things. It's something really to ponder. Jesus said this in Matthew 19:29. This really emboldens us. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, we're not doing this just to get a bunch of rewards in heaven. We're doing it because our Savior is worthy and we want to go serve Him. But what a joy to know that He tells us, you forsake this worldly, temporal, fleshly life, you're going to have so much reward in heaven, eternal life. What a joyous thing to look forward to as we drop our nets. So, dropping our nets really is our very lives and the things in our lives that we have to get rid of straightway to follow Christ. And it's a critical act that every saint of God must do to surrender and obey. Otherwise, you don't come by the gospel. You can't follow Christ. If you lack this, I got to tell you in truth and love, you're not a true disciple of Christ. You're holding back for the flesh, for material things, for idols, and it will be to your demise. You need to ponder that. Something to consider, I tell you that truth in love. The next scripture I want to look at is the account of the rich man. I'm sure you all know this. Luke 18:18-25. And a certain ruler asking him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? No one is good save one that is good, God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eyes, through the needle's eyes, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Again, really good passages of scripture. We can get a lot of truth from this. Here we see a man who was a moral man, believed in God. He wasn't some worldly, carnal, wicked man. He was even said he was keeping the law. And let's extract some truth from this so we can learn about this, about casting, dropping our nets, not casting, dropping them, and having no idols. So first, Jesus points out the moral law to him, the Ten Commandments. We're still under the Ten Commandments today, except for Saturday Sabbath keeping. Christ is our Sabbath. And all the rest of the Ten Commandments are met by loving God, loving our neighbor. So it's interesting that Jesus uses the Ten Commandments on him. Ponder that. Then the man says he's done those. He's kept those his whole life. He knows them. Now notice, Jesus doesn't say, hey, you did. You've done really good. You've kept most of them. You're good to go. You tried hard. No. Jesus says, you lack one thing. Ponder that. What that tells us is one lack, one sin is going to exclude you from the kingdom of heaven. Why else would Jesus have mentioned this to him? The rest of scripture backs this up very clearly if you study it. Keeping willful sin keeps you out of heaven. Having idols and not dropping your net will keep you out of heaven. I think that's pretty interesting to note. Then Jesus sees his heart and his life, and he exposes the man, and he calls out his stuff, his material things, his riches. Sadly, the man can't leave his riches straightway, can he? Nope. And he goes off sad. Now notice this. Jesus sees his sadness and he goes off. Jesus doesn't talk soft about it. Jesus goes on to give a rebuke that says the rich people will not enter the kingdom of God. It's harder for the camel to go through an eye of a needle. I think that's kind of interesting. He doesn't cut any slack. He just goes right after it. Then later the disciples say, well, how will anybody make it? And Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. We know rich people can make it to heaven. Just because you have money and things doesn't mean they're your idol. But clearly this means most people will have an issue and a problem with that. So we must be very careful. The man's money was his idol over God. So he was sad. And this clearly shows us he was breaking one of the Ten Commandments, which was have no idols before God. Now, I know an idol is a false god you bow down to. Yeah, we know that. But it's also anything you value above God. Consider that. We know this because Matthew 22 says to love God with all that you are, and to not love God with all that you are means you're in sin. That means you're loving something else, yourself, the world, material, money. That makes it your idol. God will have no idols before you. Now, if I love my homestead so much that I can't sell it and leave it to go serve God and preach and seek the lost, it's clearly an idol to me. I know that. My wife knows that. People that know me know that. What does the Bible say about not loving the things of this world? 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's the world? It's all the things around us, right? So God created the world and it's good. So nature and everything's good and the land is good, trees is good. But if we love something we've set up, a homestead, a business, a house, whatever, and we love it more than the service of God, it's an idol. It's got to come down. It's got to go. And if I'm honest with myself and my wife, and I'll be honest with you, I really, really like this homestead. All right, maybe I do love it in a small way. It's peaceful. It's a perfect setting. It's like our own secluded little world and haven here. You know what? Knowing what I have to do to go serve Christ and go and seek the lost in the world, knowing that I could sit here and live comfortably idle, even though doing ministry online, but I can't reach people online the way I can reach them in the street. Yeah. The message of the gospel is not popular online. So we can put it online for those seeking, but those who need to know they have a need, we need to go and preach the gospel, right? Call them to repentance. Jesus said he came to seek the lost. That's what we want to go do. So if I'm honest, this is going to keep me, encumber me from going and doing what God's called me to do. And here's the thing, it's not healthy for my walk. Even if it's not an idol today, it's not healthy for my walk. And I know that. So as a man of God, I've got to clear the way and make room for nothing before me that will ever come close to God being my number one thing. If I do that, I'm stripping the idols down before I ever build them up. So getting rid of this eliminates that would ever be an idol. And we've been traveling, we've been preaching, we haven't been living here. So it hasn't been an idol. Now, we did stay here over the winter, but guess what? I was working on it to get it ready to sell it. And so the idol must go. Nothing else can be close to God being number one. He's a jealous God. Psalm 78:58. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. Yeah, or your idols. Hey, you love sports, entertainment, politics, pride, vanity, maybe your homestead, whatever it is, popularity with people, pagan holidays. You put that above God, you bring him to jealousy. You better watch out. Judgment, chastisement's coming. You better turn and forsake such ways. All of us saints need to be diligent, guard our hearts and our lives from holding on to our nets and maybe letting idols get too close to us. We can't serve idols. We can't hold on to our nets and serve Christ unto eternal life. Think about that. I share these because I hope my life experiences give other people edification, encouragement, test themselves, see what I've done right, see what I've done wrong, so that you can go live for your Christ, for your life for Christ fully, and let me be an example, either for good or bad, and what you need to do for Christ, right? We all have to put ourselves out there and then make adjustments accordingly to be in the will of God. Last thought on the homestead. The man I bought this property from, nice man. He owned all this land around her and he split it up and sold it off. He died at about age 75, about a year ago. I got to witness the gospel to him. He wasn't interested. He had other things in life he was holding on to that he couldn't take with him. And, you know, I ponder that often. I remember him. And he loved this place. He loved the land. He loved the area. Guess what? He died. He can't take the money I gave him with for this land. He could never have taken the land with him either. And the reason I ponder that, I'm almost 60. In 15 years, I'll be 75. If I live that long, that's a short time. I look back 15 years and it went by like snap of the fingers. I might be dead before I'm 75. I can't take this homestead with me. Why would I sit and linger here, enjoying it in idleness and leisure and comfort, when there's a world out there that needs the gospel? When there's darkness to be refuted, when lights need to be shined, when salt needs to be spread. The only reason I would sit here, to serve my flesh. I got to overcome that for God's glory. Amen. So the thoughts of flesh versus the spirit have quickened Sister Debbie and I, and it's really caused us to act, focus more diligently on the kingdom of God and our calling, our mission, and put everything else away. Don't let me do this lightheartedly. This hasn't been an easy choice. No. My flesh is not happy about this. I was just talking with a young brother. He just destroyed his cable box and his TV. And we talked tonight about how taking these small steps, grow our boldness, grow our discernment, grow the grace God gives us. And it gives us the power, encouragement to go on to bigger, deeper, greater things, enduring for Christ. If you hold on to your net and you hold on to your idols, your hands are going to be empty in eternity. Think about that, if you make it at all. Peter says the righteous are scarcely saved. What are you doing to strive to make sure you're going to be one of those because of what Christ has done? Please ponder these words. That's why I put them out there and share them with you. We are excited to go and leave all this behind us, even though we really enjoy it. We want to seek the kingdom of God more in our lives. We want to go preach the gospel of Christ crucified. We want to reach the lost. We want more people to hear. There's so much work to do out in the world. There's so much darkness, lies, evil. So much light to be shined. So much truth to be told to those that are hopeless, lost, and perishing. How can I sit here? I just can't do it. Jesus said this, John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That makes me think of today. Culture's going to get worse. They're going to change the laws. They're going to shut things down. Evil's coming. One day I won't be able to do what I can do today. That means I got to go today. While it's day. We want to work while it's day, while we have the health, the energy to go preach the gospel, make disciples, and teach them to obey everything Christ commanded. Matthew 28:20. Yeah, my flesh, it had to be put in line, kicking and screaming. But you know what? I know, as Sister Debbie said to me today, we will never regret serving the Lord more full-time with all that we have. We'll never regret dropping our nets. We'll never regret clearing out any possible idols. Why? Because he is so worthy. And I want you to know that our God is so worthy. Glory to our God. I hope that this testimony has blessed you. Stay tuned for lots of stories from the Gospel Road. Seeds will be planted. I'm sure saints will be made. People will be rebuked. The truth will be shown. Evil will be, darkness will be pierced. And God will be glorified. All because, not me, not Sister Debbie, not because of us. All because God's calling us to leave this place to go do His work. And through us, He will do His work. So that's where the obedience comes in to us saints. And we become what? We're clay on the potter's wheel. We're tools in the master's hand. I want you to go consider all that. Have you dropped all your nets? Have you left all your idols behind? Are you ready to go and seek and save the lost in whatever area and whatever ministry He's called you? Hey, check out don'tperish.com, teaching blog, teaching articles, sisters' blogs, thousands of resources, and it's just going to grow more as we're out on the road lifting up King Jesus. Hey, we love you all. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I hope you have a glorious day. May God be praised.